Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her hair's still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
With us today for Her Story number 8 is artist, communication strategist, and Nashville, Tennessee community advocate, Nancy Van Rees. Nancy has worked in the music business for over 25 years, providing a variety of licensing, publishing, marketing, and branding services. She was executive director of the Nashville Shakespeare Festival from 2007 to 2009. She served as the senior director of partnership development at Cool People Care and worked as a strategist for GivingMatters.com, the Nashville Public Library Foundation, and she continues to serve the Transit Alliance of Middle Tennessee. Nancy also ran for Nashville's Metro Council in 2011 to represent District 8, and in October of 2011, she became the social media strategist and website manager for the Nashville Symphony. Nancy is also a visual artist who has held several solo and group exhibitions throughout the United States and Canada. To learn more about Nancy, her work, and her art, you can visit her website, nancyvanrees.com. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
And which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
Well, I wanted to talk today about Catherine Lee Bates.
All right. Well, go right ahead and tell us all a little bit about Catherine Lee Bates.
Well, Catherine Lee Bates was a songwriter, and she was born back in 1859 and lived till 1929. She's most remembered as the author of the words of From America the Beautiful. She is someone that I got to know almost by accident through reading another book, and I have grown to have great respect for her. A little bit about Catherine Lee Bates leads us into a discovery of a young woman who learned early how to articulate some of the things that she was feeling. She was born as a single child of parents who were very strict. Her father was a pastor. So I like to joke that she was a PK. She was a pastor's kid in the late 1800s. But she learned very early that the women's suffrage movement was moving forward, and had written, I'd like to read a little bit about what she said about that at the precocious age of 9 in 1868, as she saw something was taking place. She wrote in her diary, "I'm happy to say that women have become impatient under the restraint of men put upon them." The great question of women's rights has arisen. Girls are a very necessary portion of creation, she writes in her diary at the age of 9. They are full and as necessary as boys. Girls, called tomboys sometimes, play with dolls even when they're young. Sewing is always expected of girls. Why not of boys? Boys don't do much of anything but outside work. Girls' work is mostly all indoors, and it isn't fair. I just think that tells us a little bit about her personality at the age of 9 and what is to come from Catherine Lee Bates. She eventually became a professor and worked at Wellesley, and on a trip to Pikes Peak in Colorado, wrote a poem that became the lyric to America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful, the words were written by Catherine Lee Bates. The melody was by Samuel Ward. A lot of people don't realize that Catherine Lee Bates was a poet whose poem became a song. And as someone who is now fully embedded in the Nashvillean culture, I have great respect for songwriters. So she is one of the reasons that I respect her as well. Of course, we know the famous chorus that is sung all the time. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. We all know that. We all know this phrase worldwide. It's known as something that is invokes a sense of respect for the land that that I really, really admire as an artist and as a painter whenever trying to evoke some sense of abstract version of a landscape. I am constantly reminded of her language in regard to describing such a vast area of land. There's this one stanza that is eighth of the nine that were written that says, "O beautiful for glory tale of liberating strife, when once and twice for man's avail men lavished precious life. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till selfish gain no longer stain the banner of the free." That really spoke to me whenever, believe it or not, whenever Don't Ask, Don't Tell fell. As Catherine Lee Bates became more and more known for her poetry, it also became very evident that she had a relationship with another woman, and that woman's name was Catherine Coman, so the two Kates, if you will. She wrote in 1926, after her partner died, "So much of me died with Catherine Coman that I am sometimes not quite sure whether I am alive or not." Bates died just 3 years later after her partner, and I think that that history of that relationship is quite interesting. And the way in which she spoke of Catherine as a companion, and the way that she spoke of her after her death gave me pause, because of the way that she, even in her command of the English language, had to state her love for Catherine in a way that was poetic and guarded rather than straightforward, spoke to me, because there are people in the military now who unfortunately will at one point or another lose a partner, and their partner will not have the opportunity to speak confidently about that pain. And whenever I read this stanza about the way that life was given in order for liberating America, that that same precious life that continues to be given in order for the liberation is something that can be spoken of freely now more than any time in our history.
Now, what drew you to Catherine Lee Bates, and what about her do you draw inspiration from?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm like the average person, knew the song and heard the song and grew up with the song. But a friend of mine handed me a book at a conference by Lillian Faderman, called Chloe Plus Olivia, and it's a anthology of lesbian literature from the 17th century to the present. And I started trying to get through that book. It's giant, believe it or not, which speaks for my bewilderment to begin with. I was like, wow, there's that much. And the story of Catherine Lee Bates appears just in the first few pages. And I was drawn to her, as I said, as an artist, as a writer, as someone who can articulate through language what I try to in art, something that is vivid and longstanding. But I was also drawn to her because of the way in which she spoke of her partner. I am also have a long-term partner, and we'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary here in about another year. And as I look toward that celebration, I am always reminded of the necessity to always find history wherever we can find it about people that are like ourselves, so that we can have a sense of place, much like the one that she wrote about in America the Beautiful. And so I became a fan of Lillian Federman because she started kind of crawling into my life. I started reading another one of her anthologies of American lesbians in literature, and then there's been several others. I read her life story, and I'm just like a big fan of Lillian Federman. So if you want to pick up any of the books that she wrote, you probably will be well served. But I think that the idea of finding a grouping of history of people that I can relate to, I think is was where I began the conversation with Catherine Lee Bates in that way, and then continued it as an artist and now as someone who can relate to her as someone who has had a long-term partner. I think that all those different factors kind of drew me to her.
Now, the two Catherines, they had what historians like to call a Boston marriage. What is your opinion on that term as applied to the type of relationship these two women had?
Well, I find the term Boston marriage somewhat ironic now, because you can have actually a Boston marriage now. I have friends that have gotten married in Boston. But I think that the term is always used with two women. My understanding and my limited research in regard to gay and lesbian history is that there really are two paths. There's gay male history and lesbian history. Very much like there is male history and women's history. And all are valid, but all are different. And sometimes they intersect. And sometimes that intersection is quite profound and creates a cultural change. And so whenever you hear the term Boston marriage, it's usually referring to two women. So I think that whenever you say that the historic Boston marriages of the 1800s or early 1900s that people like to refer to or talk about or try to speculate on doesn't really matter. It's about the reason in which those relationships are analyzed is because of the way in which they spoke about each other. And I think that that's what's important. I think that actually learning what it is to have a committed relationship in which you speak of the other in that way is not about sex. It's about the emotional relationship. And so it's too important to not disregard the health of those relationships by trying to impose some sort of 21st century label upon them. I don't think they would recognize the labels that we have today any more than we would understand the way in which they had to label themselves. When you think about Gertrude Stein, or when you think about Alice Paul, when you think about Catherine Lee Bates, when you think about all these heroes, to get tied up into, well, were they lesbian? It's like, well, you know, were they able to have a committed relationship with another woman in such a way that it brought poetry and life and change in their culture? Yeah, I don't care what you call that. So that's kind of my opinion about the term Boston marriage. I do believe that it is important to not shy away from the fact that in our terminology, they may be called lesbian. But I don't think dwelling on the term is as important as celebrating the value of the way that they affected our society. I, as a lesbian, am empowered hearing the stories of other people that were like me. But it's not important to me what they called themselves. It is important to me that they identified their relationship in a way that I relate to. So I understand the way in which they spoke enough to know that I can relate to them and call them sister on a level that is important to me historically. But it should not overshadow the fact that what they did as artists and as advocates and as writers, a society that fought against their success in so many ways, the ways in which they succeeded should be celebrated, but it should always be acknowledged that there was another woman. There's a woman behind the curtain. And, I think it'll be interesting to find out more about those people. And we should know about Lucy Burns as much as we know about Alice Paul. We should know about both Kates in this story, and find out what it was that created the environment in which gave the celebrated one of the couple the courage to do what they did. Much in the way that we know Abigail Adams contributed to John Adams, or that Hillary Clinton contributed to Bill Clinton and continues to contribute to our world as we know it.
Well, what book do you recommend for listeners to go out and start learning more about Catherine and her contributions to history?
Well, I think Lillian's book, Chloe Plus Olivia, is a really good place to start. She has also written a book of poetry that is called Yellow Clover. That is a group of poems that were written commemorating Bates' relationship with Catherine Coleman. And it was distributed just amongst friends at first and then published. And I think that finding a copy of that could be very enlightening.
Well, that's all the time that we have for Catherine Lee Bates. Nancy, thank you so much for sharing her story with us. To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.